Thank you, Beth. Friends, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, for those who are visiting, our theme this year for Advent has been waiting, how we wait for those promises that God has made. We wait for hope and peace and joy and love. And this evening, we will talk about love entering into the world and also how love is waiting to enter each of our lives, and we're waiting for that. So on this fourth Sunday, we're going to talk a little bit more on the waiting piece. And I'm going to read from this famous psalm, and we'll hear about that. So friends, I invite you to hear Psalm 13. Listen to God's word for you today. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Trust, turn, and answer, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We have defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Would you pray with me? God, as we have heard the witness of your scripture, you have gathered us here to bear witness to your Son, Jesus Christ. As you have gathered us here, open our ears and our hearts to receive a word from you. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my friend is a pastor. I have a lot of friends who are pastors, admittedly, but one in particular on the East Coast told me about how a few weeks ago in this holiday season, he got invited to speak at the chapel time at his preschool. And preschools in big cities, they often take people of all kinds, all walks of life. So he set up the question to the kids, and he asked, "What do we celebrate this season?" And all the children in one unified, glorious cacophony said, "Presents!" And I don't say that with judgment, because I was that kid when I was young. And in this Advent time, that may be the feeling of anticipation, the waiting for what's excited to come, for family to get into town, for the time to get away. Maybe you're looking forward to what is coming next in your life, a move, a retirement. Our waiting is often the anticipation, and that is what part of Advent is about, the anticipation of Christ coming to be with us. And on the other side of that coin, Advent may be waiting out the clock for those times in our soul when we might be waiting for something to end, for relief to come. In this season, as Beth prayed for just not long ago, those things that we're waiting on, the diagnosis, the news, that person that we haven't seen, for someone to come home, just for things to get better. And we have celebrated all those promises of God, hope, joy, peace. And we celebrate, and at the same time, those words of the late, great Tom Petty also ring true. You take it on faith, you take it to the heart, but the waiting is the hardest part. You and I are waiting on God, and that very well might be the hardest part. And thanks be to God, we have this Psalter, this book of songs, this songbook, this book of poetry that God's people speak back to God. These are poems and songs that are our language to God. And John Calvin famously referred to them as an anatomy of the soul. All the hopes, all the griefs, all the sorrows, all the joys, all the frustrations, all of those have been gathered up, he says, by the Holy Spirit as a way to reflect back what we go through and how God interacts with us in our experiences, in our lives. To be a human, to be a soul, it requires a lot of waiting. How long, O Lord? And perhaps this is one of the most quoted lines of scriptures, whether or not you know you're quoting it. Those days when those words are uttered in despair, in grief, in frustration towards a loved one, how long, O Lord, will this go on? How long, O Lord, will the world continue to be this way? How long, O Lord, will I continue to be this way? And as your pastor, I'm not going to pretend that I know the easy and simple answers for when. How God will show up, what exactly will happen. And no one can do the waiting and the watching and the praying for you. We can wait together, and this church is the kind that supports one another wherever they are in life as we wait together on God. And as your pastor, and each of you are invited to as well, we can wait with one another to watch for where God is moving, where redemption happens, where grace might be peeking through in our stories. And yet the question still remains, how many more seconds? How many more hours? How many more days, O Lord? And one of the blessings of the Psalms is that they can act as a handrail of how to speak to God. The Psalms often use language that seem to openly question or are angry with or are disappointed in God or God's timing. Please don't let this happen. And I think that in asking the hard questions, in naming complaints, in naming hardships to God, that in itself is an act of trust. Being able to speak to God in the hard things is an act of faith. Because maybe you struggle to speak up for yourself. Maybe it's easy to tell someone off that you don't really know. But to speak freely against someone you love, speak freely with someone you love and care about, those deepest parts of your soul, that requires love and trust in all directions. And when it comes to God, there is an endless amount of love for you. Because the same trust that allows complaint is the same trust that waits for the love of God. Friends, you and I in this Advent season are waiting and remembering the unfailing love of God who promises, the God who makes covenants. So the NLT says in our passage, the unfailing love. I trust in your unfailing love. And the Hebrew for that word is this word chesed. There's lots of words for love throughout the Old Testament. But when you hear this particular one, that's a callback to God's promise to be our God, and we will be God's people. That is calling back to that promise that God made so long ago with Abraham, that was passed from generation to generation. And we believe as Christians that it finds its final fulfillment in Christ, Emmanuel, God come to be with us. When our souls yearn, how long will our enemies prevail? Will the light of our eyes fade? Will our souls continue to struggle and hurt? How long? For the Christian faith, we believe how long come is as long as Christ comes to be with us. When God sends the Holy Spirit to be within us and to transform something within us. When we wait for God's love, we're waiting for that enduring faithfulness, God's constant promise to be with us no matter what. God's love is shown by being with us to the very end and even a little bit further, because our outward circumstances may not change in a moment. Some diagnoses are always with us. Many situations are outside of our control. And we may be waiting on love to move and make things different. And yet the good news is that no matter what, God wants to be with you in every moment. God wants to be your Savior and the Redeemer who meets you at the manger, who wants to move within you and maybe not transform the world, but make you different. And maybe the world will be made different because of it. Because the grace of God is always with us, no matter what, even in those moments when it doesn't seem like it. The love of God that's most powerfully revealed at the cross, the love that conquered sin and death by means of life, the love that comes to be with us as a helpless child, that love reaches so far back to those generations before us and before us, and even to those times that no one knows. That love wants to be with you today, wants to know you and help you, and maybe even ask you to speak some uncomfortable truths. So this faithfulness of God has an invitation. And I think that the theologian Walter Brueggemann puts it well. In a world of halfway affirmation and compromise and fickleness, there's one fidelity, one faithfulness. Our human loyalties, soon or late, are all ambiguous. Even as a parent or a spouse, or as a child, or as a friend, we float in and out of love and hate, trust and mistrust, faithfulness and fickleness, and it is exhausting business. Jesus says, at the core of your life, at the center of your identity, trust this singular faithfulness and nothing else. Don't let your commitment to life, your zeal for clear vision, your resolve to be a disciple, don't let it be eroded by compromise, cynicism, or despair. That imagining the faithfulness of God can make alliance with all the perhapses of the world around us. Don't split little pieces of your life away from the singular, loyal love. Friends, you and I may be tempted to look elsewhere. When we meet the end of our abilities, when the doctor's appointments can only do so much, when we seem to be at the end of our rope, when we confess that life is far outside of our control. Trust the God who loves you. Trust the God who is faithful. Trust the God you can be honest with. Trust it so deep in your soul that you can't do anything but help but worship. But I trust in your unfailing love, and I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. As we wait on God, we wait together. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our closing prayer this morning comes from the writer Kate Bowler. Would you pray with me? God, we are waiting for love. Not the simple kind of love or the sweep you off your feet kind, but the absurd kind. The kind wrapped in rags, resting in a bucket of animal feed. Love enough to save us all. Blessed are we who look for love deeper, fuller, truer than we have ever known, than we could have ever hoped for. God, help us to seek you, that light that dawned so long ago. Love given, love received. Amen.